Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. The coronavirus pandemic began a couple months ago, and as more time goes by, our health professionals learn more and more. We've been talking with local medical professionals to tell us what we know now that we didn't even last week. Today, Dr. Kevin Post, Chief Medical Officer with Avera Medical Group, is joining us for our update today. Dr. Post, thanks for being here today. Welcome to In the Moment.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jackie. Happy to be here.
Great. Always something new after you look away for a couple days with COVID-19. So maybe run through a list for us. What do we know today that we didn't know even a few days ago last week?
Yeah, I think some major themes to carry forward. You know, what we did know before last week, of course, is that the numbers have flattened. This will be spread out more over time. So it looks like we can handle it. I do think you're seeing an increased focus nationally. And you also notice it locally on the testing of nursing homes. That was kind of driven by our government. It's being played out on a state and local level. So really, I think as we look at what appears to be the progression of this pandemic, I think it's going to be more an ability to control hotspots, or you could call them little dumpster fires that flare up, how quickly we can get on top of them, use adequate testing and surveillance of those affected in order to prevent further spread. And I think that looks like to be our key going forward to hopefully manage this successfully.
Of course, everyone is looking at how soon can we get a vaccine or even an adequate treatment. Seen a couple stories over the weekend, and then even this morning, reports that a potential coronavirus vaccine from Moderna is showing some promise. What are you hearing as far as treatments and vaccines are concerned?
Yeah, related to vaccines, hearing very similar things. Of course, we've just seen the preliminary announcements of that as well. You know, there'll be further safety testing as they continue to conduct their human trials. I think what is going to be the balance here is that we move forward quickly, but we also move forward very safely and use good discretion that we do bring out a product to the public that is safe, that is effective. And I think that people feel safe, that they can trust that it wasn't brought through too quickly. Typically, vaccines undergo a very stringent process in order to maintain that safety measure, and I expect that we'll be continuing with this as well. From a treatment standpoint, there's not a lot new for the general public. There is some additional positive things coming forward with what we're finding with convalescent plasma and some of the antivirals for treatment of the condition. We continue to be actively involved in research at Avera, and in that we want to continue to learn more about this as we go, as we have been along the way, to bring the best care to our communities.
And we haven't heard too much about that statewide hydroxychloroquine trials that were announced not too long ago. What can you tell us from the Avera side about how those trials are going here in South Dakota?
Yeah. So from Avera, we continue to collaborate with the state, with Monument, and with Sanford on this, on how to best approach it. So we are carefully vetting or working through the process of the study to make sure that we have proper safety protocols in place. Of course, we do not want to do any harm to our patients. We are very aware of the other studies that have been out there and some of the effects that was shown there. So we're being very careful as we roll this out, that as we do research, we're still doing what's in the best interest always of our patients, putting our patients first. And that really is part of our mission to do what is best for them.
Mm-hmm. We're in the last couple of weeks seeing different businesses, restaurants reopening with certain restrictions. Seems to be folks see this and interpret it as the worst is behind us. Tell us about your response to that perspective.
Well, yeah, I think that is kind of a yes and no type approach. I think yes, some of the worst might be behind us in that. We do not think we'll be seeing the severe surge numbers that were initially anticipated, thanks to the public support and all their engagement with the mitigation isolation efforts, as well as our the medical teams in the U.S. that have decreased the hospital length of stay. So in that term, the worst is behind us, is that it does not look like we will have to ration care. It looks like Sioux Falls and the surrounding areas and our regional sites, we will have adequate supplies, protective equipment, and hospital beds to take care of our communities. So in that sense, the worst is maybe behind us. I think what isn't behind us, though, is kind of the marathon that lays ahead as we look into the next 3 to 6 months. This is going to be kind of a slow ongoing, kind of a smoldering progression through our communities. So it's going to take a lot of patience, a lot of perseverance. It's going to require us to be willing to make some sacrifices more long-term, I think, in order to protect those that are most vulnerable. That includes continuing, isolation efforts as we are able, while still living with this reasonably. Masking, hand washing, just the things that have got us to where we are today. We need to live with this for the next several months, even up to, you know, the next year. So how can we do that wisely and right. protect those of us that need the most? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, with distancing, wearing masks when out in public, still see questions, how necessary is this really? Or even going to run an errand, see maybe half the people are wearing masks, half aren't. Tell us one more. I'll say one more time. We're going to harp on this every time. How key is masking to start?
It is in the medical field's opinion, it is extremely important. And the reason why is you're not necessarily masking for yourself. You're doing it for others. Of course, it does definitely help protect you, so that you can use that as a motivating reason as well. But really think about that if you were a carrier of it, you know, a lot of us are carrying COVID-19 and we have no symptoms. But if you were a carrier and you gave it to someone who is vulnerable, which can even happen yet if they're wearing a mask, you're exposing someone who may not be able to survive the illness. So the way I think of it is when we're wearing a mask, we're caring for our neighbor. We're caring for the person we may not know, but that may need the help of this. So I really plead with the public to remain vigilant with wearing a mask. I think for medical providers, we need to live by example. We need to be, as we go out into the public, we need to show that we do think this is serious. And the good thing is, you know, we have been given the opportunity by our governors to reopen, but to reopen responsibly. So that means doing our part so that we can maintain, you know, the freedoms that we have and the responsibilities we were given.
Hmm. In our segment last hour, talking about economic recovery, kind of that's a similar idea of be thinking about your neighbor's local business, do what you can to support them. And in this ways, I'm hearing kind of a parallel of also just from a medical perspective, do what you can for your neighbor, wear that mask when you do go out, and continue on with these precautions. This isn't done just because you can go into the restaurants again, right?
That's correct, yeah. And I think, you know, also be willing to look for alternative ways to do things. So whether that's getting together with smaller groups of friends and family, that doesn't mean you can't do it. Just do it wisely and with smaller groups. Even as we handle our day-to-day lives, are the things that we can do virtually versus in person. There's another way to limit risk. I know in medicine, you know, we're really bringing in a heavy focus to virtual care. So can you see your physician? Can you see your advanced practice provider virtually? And if so, it's a much safer way for both yourself and to avoid exposing others.
Consider for the things that maybe weren't happening virtually, like surgeries, for example, that were postponed for a certain period of time. I know Avera has started kind of this gradual rolling out again of some of these services. What can you tell us about what's being phased in at this point and how that's looking?
Yep. So at Avera, starting 2 weeks ago now, and we are very aggressively going after reopening, for sure with our surgical procedures that had to be unfortunately delayed for our patients for safety's sake, gave us time to build up the proper equipment. So we are, and supplies to treat them. So our reopening, we can do it safely. We have our employees all, in the proper equipment and protective gear that is needed to provide safe care. So we are now, you'll be seeing a reopening of them procedures. Our clinics will be reopening because we need to see our clinic visits. We need to see those diabetics or those with heart conditions so it doesn't lead to worsening problems. And I think really I can reassure the community we are now ready for this. Not only will you be safe, I think you will feel safe. There will be some changes as you come into our clinics and hospitals. For instance, you may see some barriers to help for your protection. You may be asked to stand 6 feet apart. There'll be a lot of even higher standards of cleaning than before. We always had high standards, but now we've ramped it up even higher now with the pandemic to try to avoid exposures on high-touch surfaces and things like that. So.
I'm curious what you can tell us about like visitation policies or folks being able to go in with their loved one if they are doing some kind of surgery or something along those lines. How is that being adjusted?
Yeah, Jackie, and we keep watching that very closely because we know how important it is to our patients and our family. So right now we are allowing visitors similar to before in situations, of course, with newborns, pediatric cases. Also in the case of surgery, we'll allow a limited number of visitors. And then, of course, anything that unfortunately could be end-of-life care. So we continue to watch that very closely. And our case counts continue to rise in our region here. So we need to be very cautious that we don't get lax and allow visitors in that we cannot adequately protect. However, we're very aware and empathetic of, you know, how much our loved ones mean to us. So we're trying to do as much as we can, try to allow as much as we can for our patients while always doing it safely and not compromising that of our patients and our staff.
Right. We mentioned at the beginning of this segment that announcement last week about the mass testing for nursing homes and long-term care facilities that is said to be starting this week with in areas where there is the largest spread of COVID-19. Talk to us a little bit about why that very aggressive testing approach in that particular population is important in a state's response to this pandemic.
Yeah, because, and the reason for that, Jackie, is, you know, the nursing homes are just such a high-risk population. You know, you have elderly with usually multiple medical conditions, and if they are affected, you know, you're very concerned that due to their affected immune system, it could quickly spread in those areas, which would lead to a lot of deaths, you know, or one of those hot spots that we had talked about. So the federal government and the state governments, you know, have made the recommendations for testing of these long-term care facilities, and we are happy to support and engage in that. So I think one thing, though, we need to remember is these tests will be just a snapshot in time of our long-term care facilities. So even though the testing may show favorable results in an area, we need to remain vigilant because, you know, in just a span of several days, the conditions may change. You can't rely too much on the test as a one-time test for what it is. Definitely have to continue to be vigilant, to be very responsible moving forward regardless of that. So I see it as a tool to help. I do not think it changes what we need to do for safety long term.
Right. Another kind of conversation that has been happening over the last few weeks, especially looking at how COVID-19 symptoms are perhaps different in children, younger people who contract the virus. We're hearing about multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. State epidemiologists put out something over the weekend that no cases of that have yet been identified in South Dakota as far as young people are concerned. But what can you tell us about how symptoms are manifesting in different people and how you're tracking that as a healthcare system trying to look out for things like this?
Yeah, and this has been an interesting development. You know, it's something that we weren't that focused on initially, but as you see more pediatric cases occurring in the U.S., you are seeing these incident diseases. So fortunately, we have not, like you mentioned, we have not seen the severe outbreaks in our pediatric patients or severe conditions develop. We are watching it closely. There are certain different blood conditions as well that we are seeing in our pediatric population as well. So we continue to follow closely with our infectious disease physicians, our pediatricians, to closely watch the development of this. And I think this underscores the importance of why Avera feels that it's so important to be involved in research as we need to learn more and more about COVID-19. So it's very essential we continue to be actively involved in learning new treatments, learning new developments, because that is what we feel is our calling to our communities.
Is there anything that we haven't mentioned today as far as watching some of those research projects that you want to highlight?
No, I think we covered most of it. I think at Avera, we have a heavy focus on the convalescent plasma, which is basically when you give antibiotics from a patient who has recovered from coronavirus, you then transfuse those antibiotics into a patient who is ill from it, and that has shown significant promise. And that is a large focus of our research at Avera. Also, you know, there's also other things such as the prevention trials, looking at possible development of a vaccine, things like that we are focusing on, and then some of the antivirals. So, and then lastly, I just think it's been amazing the collaboration with the state and the healthcare systems to bring better care to our patients and communities. And then also, I just feel a lot of gratitude to our communities, our patients, and all of us in the Midwest, because I really believe it was the efforts of the public and all the sacrifices they made, which we should never downplay or take for granted, that have gotten us into the position here today where this looks manageable.
But before we let you go, Dr. Post, I wonder, of course, this is maybe not the best question for a segment about what do we know now that we didn't before, but do you have any kind of projections for this week? Anything that you're keeping a particular eye on as we move forward into a new week with who knows what kind of new information that could come?
Right. I think what we're watching closely is the effect of reopening. You know, we're now several weeks into this reopening. So I think we will see what the effect of that is if we are being responsible about it. Hopefully it looks like it will project out that things still look manageable. I think if things aren't taken seriously and we see large groups gathering, then we can see a more uptick in the cases. And of course, we'll be ready here to treat for that. So I think watching the reopening and then really pleading with the public for their ongoing cooperation and support so we can all get back to business, get back to our jobs, get the economy restarted, and live safely with this.
My guest has been Dr. Kevin Post, Chief Medical Officer with Avera Medical Group, bringing us up to speed on what we know now that we didn't know about COVID-19 and what we can perhaps look forward to. Dr. Post, thanks as always for your time. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Jackie.